Palestinian prisoner Sheikh Khader Adnan is martyred in an Israeli jail after almost 3 months of being on a hunger strike over his illegal detention. Tensions are rising in the occupied lands. The Palestinian resistance groups fire rockets into Israel to avenge Adnan's martyrdom. Israeli tanks target Gaza in response. And the conflict in Sudan is feared to be turning into what the UN calls a full-blown catastrophe. Some 100,000 people have fled the fighting so far. Hello and welcome from Tehran. You're tuned to World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Of course, the top story continues to be the situation in the occupied Palestinian territories and Sheikh Khader Adnan, who was murdered as a Palestinian inmate, of course, has been martyred in an Israeli jail after nearly 3 months being on a hunger strike over his illegal detention. Adnan was found unconscious in his cell in the Nitzan prison on Tuesday morning. He went on a hunger strike on February the 5th. An Israeli court rejected another plea to release him on bail, despite warnings about his health condition. The 45-year-old Palestinian was a senior member of the Islamic Jihad resistance movement in the occupied West Bank. His body has been taken to an Israeli hospital. International Committee of the Red Cross is calling on Israel to release his body.
We offer our sincere condolences to the family and loved ones of Khader Adnan at this difficult time. We call on the Israeli authorities to release Mr. Adnan's body so his family can mourn and arrange a dignified burial according to their customs and beliefs.
Adnan is the 206th Palestinian deliberately murdered in Israeli detention centers. He was one of the nearly 5,000 Palestinians held in the regime's jails. Many are incarcerated under the so-called administrative detention mechanism, which is used to keep Palestinians behind bars indefinitely without charge or trial. Well, staying with the story, tensions are rising again in the occupied territories following the death of Sheikh Adnan. This morning, a number of rockets were launched from Gaza towards Israel in retaliation. The Israeli army says it has hit Gaza with tank fire in response to the rockets. Israeli strikes have sparked a renewed volley from Gaza. The Joint Command of Resistance Groups, an umbrella group comprising of Palestinian armed factions in Gaza, has claimed responsibility for the rocket attacks on Israel. Now, the factions say that's a first response to the martyrdom of Adnan. They stress that the resistance will remain fully prepared as a sword and shield for Palestinians everywhere. Meanwhile, a shooting attack in northern West Bank has left several Israeli settlers injured. The operation was performed in a village near the city of Takram. A Palestinian got out of his car, shot at the vehicles of Israeli settlers, and left the scene. We're going to cross over to Gaza City, joined by Palestinian political activist Muti Abu Mosabeh. Thank you so much for being with us. Well, tell us about the situation in Gaza and reactions towards the martyrdom of Sheikh Adnan.
Yes, first of all, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Without any shadow of doubt, this is another complete crime committed deliberately by the Israeli occupation forces against the prisoner, the administrative detainee, Khader Adnan, after he had been on his hunger strike for more than 86 days in a row. So this is another crime added to the long record of the crimes committed by the Israeli occupation forces against the Palestinian people on a daily basis. And it reveals another dark side of the brutal Israeli policies and the measures taken against the Palestinian people. By killing Khader Adnan, the number of the Palestinian prisoners and the Palestinian detainees who have been killed inside the Israeli occupation jails rises to 237 Palestinians So this is another way for the Israeli occupation to target the Palestinian people. It's another opportunity for the Israeli occupation that it sees in order to kill the Palestinian people and to liquidate the Palestinian activists who haven't committed any crime but raise the voice of the Palestinian people against the Israeli occupation brutality and against the Israeli terrorism practiced against the Palestinian people.
What do you make of the silence from the so-called international community? I mean, we basically, unfortunately, have that silence most of the time. But in general, in dealing with Israeli illegal policy of administrative detention, that this isn't condemned more widely, and also that this hunger strike that Sheikh Adnan had been on for 86 days, we didn't hear a lot of condemnation of the Israeli regime by these so-called international bodies during this time.
Yes, unfortunately, such a crime is a clear message for the international community as a whole and for the international human rights organization, particularly that the Israeli occupation forces, especially the current Israeli government, is still insisting on turning a blind eye to all international human rights legislations and conventions that protects the Palestinian basic human rights. So this reveals the arrogance of the Israeli occupation, and on the other hand, it puts the international community as a whole and the human rights organization in front of their main responsibilities that they need to stand up for. This reveals that they are standing in silence towards this crime and these crimes actually committed against the Palestinian people. And let's be clear that if the Israeli occupation government and the Israeli occupation forces touch at any moment that there would be any kind of a response towards these crimes, I think that the Israeli occupation would rethink and recalculate any kind of measures taken and against the Palestinian people or any kind of crimes committed against the Palestinian people. But as long as the Israeli occupation forces feel immune to any kind of responsibility or any kind of or being even held accountable towards those crimes, the Israeli occupation forces will continue their crimes against the Palestinian people. And let's be clear that without having any serious measures by the international community and the human rights organization, without sanctioning the Israeli occupation forces for their ongoing and continuous crimes, the Palestinian people would remain and would keep paying the price of that abhorrent silence shown by the international community and the human rights organization.
Well, on the one hand, we have the silence of the international community. On the other hand, though, we have the resistance, the Palestinian resistance. Tell me types of reaction or responses you think that we may witness in dealing with this martyrdom.
Yes, if we are agreed that this is another crime and a new crime committed against the Palestinian people, this paves the way for the Palestinian resistance to take the action needed in order to defend the Palestinian people. This presents another concrete clue and evidence that the Palestinian people have no choice but to raise their weapon in front of the Israeli occupation. And the Palestinian people, as the whole world is still turning a blind eye to their suffering and still witnessing how the Israeli occupation is attacking the Palestinian people without having any kind of response, the Palestinian people are, and the Palestinian resistance factions actually, are recommended to have any choice in order to defend the Palestinian people and in order to resist the Israeli occupation, because frankly and without any shadow of doubt, the Israeli occupation would never understand any language but the language of resistance, the language of military resistance, precisely because Israel understands clearly that the international community would never assist the Palestinian people or stand in support for the Palestinian people.
Moti Abu Mousavi, Palestinian political activist out of Gaza City, appreciate you being with us. Meanwhile, a general strike has been declared across the occupied Palestinian territories and the besieged Gaza Strip in protest of the murder of Sheikh Khadr Adnan by the Israeli regime. Adnan's 9-year-old son also led a protest near his hometown of Jenin on the West Bank.
The occupation bears full responsibility, and we will carry out our role in confronting those crimes and those assaults, in particular this crime, which led to the martyrdom of Sheikh Hero Khadr Adnan.
Well, the Fatah movement of Mahmoud Abbas has called for the immediate international action in support of Palestinians languishing in Israeli jails. Palestinian Prime Minister Mohammad Shatia has called Adnan's death an assassination. The same comment was echoed by other Palestinian officials. Political analyst Sarbaz Ruhollah Rezvi earlier joined us with his take on the murder of Sheikh Khadr Adnan and the Palestinian struggle against the Israeli occupation.
When I talked to Sheikh Khadr Adnan last year, he told me that the idea behind these, you know, hunger strikes is to ruin the face of the occupation, to tell to the world that let's see what is the reality of this occupation. All those who believe in human rights, for all those Western countries, for all those who believe in Western values, liberal values, okay, come on. Come on and speak about Khadr Adnan. Why you are silent? No excuse for anyone to remain silent. You know, even if you do not believe in the resistance movement, even if you do not believe in the armed resistance of the Palestinians, which I believe is the legitimate right of them, of course. Now come to the stage and talk about the Khadr Adnan. Khadr Adnan had no, rifle in his hand, no gun in his hand. He did not fire any bullet. You know, he did not explode anything. He was just doing hunger strike against administrative detention. And here something very important comes to my mind, that, you know, typically there is a division of, you know, different sorts of resistance. Some believe that there is an armed resistance there and there is a nonviolent type of resistance, and they cannot be joined together. But the Palestinians have proved that resistance in all its forms is something that the Palestinian nation is seeking. It doesn't make any difference where you are, in what level you are. Are you in jail? Are you free? Are you in the streets? Are you in media? Whatever you are. The idea behind this hybrid type of resistance that Palestinians are now showing to the world, teaching to the world, is that make use of any opportunity and resist.
Well, we've talked to the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman about the Palestinian detainees' murder in an Israeli jail. Nasser Kanani says Tel Aviv's allies and international bodies are complicit in his murder by failing to punish the regime for its crimes.
The Zionist regime is directly responsible for the martyrdom of Khadr Adnan. It seems that the international bodies do not have any responsibility when it comes to that, and they remain silent regarding this crime and other crimes that are being committed on a daily basis by the Zionist regime. And this emboldens the Zionist regime. So it's not just the known allies of the Israeli regime that are complicit in this crime, but it's also these international bodies that have a responsibility to show reaction to react to this crime, such as the Human Rights Council, the United Nations, and other international bodies that claim to be the advocates of human rights. They are also complicit in this crime.
Moving on to other news this hour. The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has called on the country's teachers to promote the Islamic Iranian identity in children. Ayatollah Khamenei made the remarks in an address to a group of teachers and academics on the occasion of National Teachers' Day. The leader said that strengthening the national identity and teaching the Islamic Iranian way of life are among the main things required in the educational system. He underlined that it is not possible to pass the hurdle facing the country's progress without the assistance of the educational system. The leader also praised the country's teachers for their efforts in educating children despite challenges. Meanwhile, Iran is celebrating National Teachers' Day. The day is being marked with special ceremonies in schools across the country to pay tribute to teachers. Gisumisha Ahmadi brings us more.
We can never thank our teachers enough. Flowers and gifts are only small tokens of appreciation, and Teachers' Day is a chance for us to say that we are grateful. Students with special needs probably understand this better than anyone else.
Happy Teachers Day. Thank you for all that you have done for us. I wish you all the best. I thank you for all the efforts you make to teach us. Dear Mrs. Zarafat, thank you for everything.
I want to take this opportunity to thank Ms. Zarafat, my daughter's teacher. She is a truly shining light.
Teacher of the Year, Ms. Fatima Zarafat Angiz, herself a PhD student, has dedicated her life to teaching the visually impaired.
For me, teaching is similar to gardening. Just like a gardener, I take pride in the achievements of my students.
They say a teacher is like a candle, which lights others in consuming itself. Many teachers have taken this to a new level, and they've dedicated their lives to training their future colleagues.
My father was my mentor. He was a teacher and touched the lives of many. I decided to walk down his path.
Many of our great educators are also great researchers as they try to find better methods of teaching through studying the human learning process.
They say teachers are the architects of the future. That is because they are the most significant part of everyone's life. They show us the right path and groom us to become better people. They teach us to face life's most difficult challenges and get through. Teachers Day is celebrated to pay tribute to all of those that have dedicated their lives to educating the future generation. Gisumish Ahmadi, Tehran.
Moving now to Sudan, where weeks of fierce fighting between rival military forces is turning into a broader disaster. Now, the UN says over 100,000 people have fled to neighboring countries.
So over 100,000 refugees are estimated to be among those who have now crossed to neighboring countries, including Sudanese refugees, South Sudanese returning, and other nationalities who were themselves refugees in Sudan.
The UN official added that the number is estimated to surpass 800,000 as fighting continues unabated. The crisis has also caused the displacement of over 330,000 people within the country. Meanwhile, the World Food Program has expressed concerns that the situation could destabilize the whole region.
The ripple effect for the region is significant. It's a real concern, and we just need to find peace. We need the two parties to the conflict to come together and find a way to resolve the conflict, because this has the possibility of destabilizing the whole region.
Kariuki added that the WFP is resuming suspended humanitarian operations in safer regions. Sudan's fighting, now entering its third week, has blocked aid routes in the African nation, where two-thirds of the people already rely on outside support. The UN says a humanitarian crisis in the country is turning into a full-blown catastrophe. Tensions between the army and paramilitary group Rapid Support Forces erupted into a conflict on April the 15th. Now, this was triggered by the military's attempt to integrate the RSF as both pushed to control the junta in Sudan. Some 530 people have been killed and 4,500 others wounded. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News Edition. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
A diverse range of programs, spirituality, youth, Eastern tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Teacher's Day in memory of Ayatollah Motahhari. Of Ordibehesht on the Iranian calendar, corresponding to 2nd of May, is the martyrdom anniversary of the great scholar Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari, who led a life of inexhaustible effort to guide the people, especially young people, through debates, speeches, books, and his own behavior. Ayatollah Motahhari was a real teacher. Appreciation of teacher is appreciation of the gardener who takes care of blossoms till they bud into flowers and then fruitify. According to the Holy Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, scholars on the earth are like the stars in the sky. In the dark of the land and the sea, the right way will be found through them. And when they set, so many a guided person will go astray. We commemorate Teachers Day and present you a program on the status of teachers and the thoughts of great martyr Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari. Stay with us. Knowledge increases human value and rationality, and a teacher is a means for learning, so he has a great right over his students whilst being seriously responsible before these trusts of God. He preserves divine trusts from corruption and deviation and tries to set the ground for their growth and perfection. The Holy Prophet has said, "Verily, God and the angels and the inhabitants of the earth, even the ant in its hole, and the fish in the sea, greet the ones who teach goodness to people." The Holy Prophet advised his disciples to respect their teachers and observe their rites. The Holy Prophet said three times, "O God, have mercy upon my successors." He was asked, "Who are your successors?" He answered, "Those who convey my hadith and practice to all and then teach it to my ummah." The most fundamental feature of a teacher is his effort to make real humans. The noble Quran describes the Holy Prophet of Islam as the great teacher of human history, saying that the Prophet is distressed by the losses you sustain, who is ardently desirous of your welfare and is tender and merciful to those that believe. The intense love and desire for guiding humans is very good for a teacher, and no teacher can be successful without this love. In fact, it is the driving engine for training the students that are apt and ready to learn. teaching is an art and a teacher is an artist. Knowledge, contemplation, and creativity are the characteristics of a teacher that go along with science of the day. A successful teacher is the one who keeps updating his knowledge and awareness, daily advancement in science, and tries to apply science in class. He or she should be like a spring or a river that is not a stagnant. Because of spiritual impact of teachers, students are highly affected by them, so that they may even change the fate of their nation. Most people owe their success to their teachers. On the other hand, many failures may originate in the teachings and behavior of teachers. Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari, recalling the memories of one of his great teachers, called Haj Mirza Ali Agha Shirazi, would say, "He was a great man. For the first time, he made me familiar with Nahjul Balagha. I always consider him as one of the most valuable reserves in my life. I don't like to exchange him for anything, and not a single night or day passes except that his memory flashes in my mind and I remember him and utter his name." The Islamic Revolution is indebted to the intellectual and cultural endeavors of prominent Muslim thinkers and intellectuals, scholars. Martyr Shahid Murtaza Motahhari was one of the most prominent intellectual and cultural figures of our modern times. With a very high command of Islamic teachings, he met myriads of the needs of the present generation. Having novel ideas, creative thoughts, and proper understanding of Islam, Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari played an important role in the enlightenment of enthusiasts, especially teachers and academics. He left behind some invaluable works that fulfilled the needs of millions of eager souls, both in Iran and abroad, as many of his works have been translated into many different languages. This great Muslim scholar was very thoughtful of the needs of the time and looked for the topics of interest and the need of the young people, the younger generation, to provide answers to the intellectual and ideological ambiguities to young people. Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari was born in a religious family in 1919 in the town of Fariman, about 75 kilometers from the holy city of Mashhad in Khorasan province. In his childhood, he went to school and began learning elementary lessons. At the age of 12, he attended the theological school of Mashhad and began studying the foundations of Islamic sciences. In 1937, during the hostility of Reza Khan against religious and religious people, despite the opposition of his friends and relatives, he went to the seminary school in Qom to complete his education. During his 15-year stay in Qom, Martyr Murtaza Motahhari highly benefited from classes of Grand Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, and Allama Sayyid Muhammad Hossein Tabatabai. In 1952, he migrated to Tehran and very soon catapulted to fame as a top scholar and master of various Islamic sciences. He taught at the Marvi Seminary in Tehran and was engaged in writing books and delivering speeches. In 1955, the first session of interpretation of the Holy Quran was held by him at the Islamic Students Association. Martyr Ayatollah Motahhari was one of the main axes of coordination amongst religious scholars or ulama and university professors during the exile of Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him. He strongly believed in the ability of Islam to administer society. Hence, he outlined the views of the Islamic Revolution and clarified its various dimensions for every stratum, even for the layman. In a climate where a variety of advocates were promoting their ideologies to deviate people, especially the younger generation and academics, Ayatollah Murtaza Motahhari traced the footsteps of Imam Khomeini to defend the genuine teachings of Islam, which had been manifested in the form of the Islamic Revolution. Ayatollah Murtaza Mutahhari has always been regarded as a very knowledgeable expert of Islam and a powerful philosopher who was aware of the conditions of his time. He confronted the ideological deviations insofar as he sacrificed his life for his ideals. Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, lamenting the martyrdom of his bright scholar, stated in his message, "I have lost a very dear child and am mourning for him, as was one of the character that was the fruit of my life. Dear Islam has sustained a fracture due to the martyrdom of this erudite child and eternal scholar, that nothing can fill his place." Considering the deep impact of Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari's ideas on Islamic society, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, has said that for flourishing and advancement of society, intellectual work should be done on his thoughts and works. Enthusiasts should extract Martyr Mutahhari's thoughts and opinions in different fields. The leader says, "Of course, the works of this great scholar are alive, like his memory. Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari's books are not terminable. No one should think that we are repeating the books of Martyr Murtaza Mutahhari after a revolution as we have kept republishing them. There is no repetition in true words and in the words of wisdom. Society and the younger generation and our cultural and scientific community still need to know the teachings that this great scholar has written and put at the disposal of the Islamic Ummah."
The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
أما بعد فأطال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه الكريم هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزداد إيمانا مع إيمانهم صلوات We proudly call ourselves Shia of Ali. Tonight I would like to take this opportunity in this and the related majalis, inshallah, to look at the example of those who were Shias of Ali in the lifetime of Ali. And so that we can look at them as role models and examples for us. So tonight let us look at Salman al-Farsi. That's how he's more, you know, famous and commonly known, even by us. But you will see there is a point that the Imams have about him. Just a very brief, you know, time doesn't allow me to go into details. Maybe I'll continue this tomorrow also about Salman's story. He basically comes from the Persian background. That's why he's called Al-Farsi. And his name was actually Ruzbah. Ruzbah was his name. And born in a Zoroastrian family, raised as a Zoroastrian. But it seems that when he became adult, you know, he was a learned person. He was not fully satisfied with his own faith. Started doing more research. And his search took him to different places. Eventually, he became interested in Christianity, moved to Sham, the greater Syria, and became a Christian. He became very close to a very prominent monk, a Christian monk in a monastery in Mosul, and became his disciple. This monk who had access to their books of the early days, on his deathbed, makes a wasiyat to Salman. He says, there is something I have not told anyone, but I would like to share with you. He says, according to our books and the information given to us, we are actually in the time of the advent of the last prophet. And he says, according to my understanding, he is already born and he is there in Mecca. In your search for truth, maybe you should go to Mecca and see him. So Salman then joined an Arab, caravan to go to Mecca. Somehow, in the way things happened, where he was captured and, made into a slave and ended up being sold in a slave market to somebody from Medina. So the Prophet is in Mecca. Salman is already there as a slave in Medina. Then the hijrah takes place. The Prophet comes to Medina. Salman heard about it because, almost a majority of Medina had already become Islam before the hijrah of the Prophet. So there was a lot of excitement in the city that, our Rasul has come here. And he settled down for the few days in Quba, waiting for Amir al-Mu'mineen and Fatima bint Asad and Fatima bint Rasul and all of the family to come there. So Salman, in his search for truth, decided to go and see him. But he wanted to be sure that this is the prophet that I'm looking for. It's amazing that, the Christian literature that he had access to, they had so much details about the characteristics of the prophet. So what does he do? He used to work in the farm, cultivation and farm, khurma. So he took a basket of khurma one day to Quba, where the Prophet was staying. And he goes to him and he presents that basket of khurma and dates to him. And he says, "Hadhihi sadaqa alayka wa ala ashabik." This is a sadaqa. Sadaqa is a charity. He says, this is a sadaqa for you and your companions. He said this purposely, because he knew from the books that he had read that the last prophet will not use sadaqah for himself. It is haram for him. So he then left the basket there, and he wanted to see what happens. And he realized that the prophet did not even take one khurma, one dead from that basket. He just passed it around among his ashab. The next day he does the same thing, Salman. This time he goes there and he says, "Hadhihi hadiyya." This is not sadaqah, this is a gift from me. And that's where he saw that the Prophet actually ate and shared with the companions, but he also ate the khurma. And this is where, this was just one sign from the other things that he was looking for, which made him, sure that this is the last Prophet that I was looking for. Salawat Malik. Presence of Salman in the early days of Islam, also people like Bilal, Suhaib, and others who were not from Arabic background, affirms this belief that we have, all Muslims, no doubt, that Islam was not a religion which was sent for the Arabs or the Quraysh of Mecca. The Prophet is a prophet for the entire mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah number 34, ayat 28, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَظِيرًا. We have not sent you but as a Rasul for all the people. Someone who will bring good news as well as warn them against the fire of Jahannam. And we see that the Prophet was very clear that anyone who comes into the fold of Islam, irrespective of their background, they have the potential of strengthening their faith and also building up their moral life. And this is where we come to realize that your ethnicity or race, your color or feature, your language or culture, or your financial or social status, are irrelevant when we talk about, attaining higher spiritual level in Islam. It doesn't matter where you are from, what is your color, or your ethnic or racial background. And this is where we see that the Prophet of Islam came to abolish this whole issue of racism and tribalism. Although this disease of racism was there even in the hearts of many Arab Qurayshi Muslims who considered the non-Arab Muslims to be inferior. Unfortunately, that disease has continued for so many centuries, even now. You know, they have this asabiyya, they look at others as inferior as far as the religion is concerned. And this is where we see that even a great, companion of the Prophet like Salman, faced discrimination and racism.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
Rahi Karimun Adi Alimun Halim Hakimun Mati.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The sixth meeting of presidents of major Iranian and Russian universities was held at Moscow State University. In this meeting, the presidents of 13 Iranian universities, 15 Russian universities, and professors of linguistics chairs discussed ways to strengthen scientific and research cooperation, exchange of professors and students, and the implementation of joint projects in the field of science and technology. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites and news agencies for further details. Stay tuned for more. According to Tehran Times, Mohammad Mughimi, president of the University of Tehran, and Viktor Sadovnichiy, the rector of Lomonosov Moscow State University, discussed ways to expand bilateral relations in a meeting that was held at the Sixth Forum of Rectors of Russian and Iranian Universities on April 27th. The two sides announced readiness to exchange professors and students and boost joint research programs. IRNA reported. One step to expand the cooperation between the two universities is that Persian-speaking students of Moscow University and Russian-speaking students of Tehran University can be guests at each other's universities for at least one semester, Mogimi suggested. The president of Lomobosov Moscow University welcomed the proposal of the president of Tehran University. Mogimi expressed hope that the cooperation program will start within the next few months. The Sixth Forum of Rectors of Russian and Iranian Universities was organized in order to expand and deepen international cooperation in scientific research and academic fields between the top universities of the two countries. In August 2022, Mohammad Javad Salmanpour, the deputy head of the Organization for Student Affairs, and Dmitry Kalinichenko, head of the Russian Federal Agency for the Commonwealth of Independent States Affairs, compatriots living abroad, and the International Humanitarian Cooperation met in Tehran. During the meeting, Kalinichenko noted that there are 300 Iranian students with scholarships in Russia and that the number can increase in the future. Salmanpour, for his part, said that most of the Russian students in Iran are studying without a scholarship, mostly in the fields of Persian language and literature, linguistics, etc. And the Islamic Republic welcomes the increasing number of foreign students in these fields. Iran is among the 15 successful countries in attracting international students. According to Salmanpour, we have the ability and capacity to have more than 250,000 foreign students by 2026, he stated. According to unofficial statistics, more than 300,000 Iranian students study abroad. Russia is one of the prioritized countries for scientific and technological relations with Iran. Since 2016, various specialized working groups formed by the two countries in the fields of space, aerospace, cognitive sciences, biotechnology, nanotechnology, university cooperation, mega science, information technology, energy, and regional cooperation. During the last 5 to 6 years, the capacity of international interactions has been considered by Iran and Russia, and this cooperation has expanded by forming bilateral agreements through intersectoral coordination. Reviewing the status of universities worldwide shows that the number of Iranian universities has increased in nearly all subject rankings. According to statistics, at the beginning of its formation, rating systems provided a comprehensive view of institutions and evaluated them from all aspects and as a whole. But in the past few years, many of these systems evaluate and rank institutions in various scientific fields. This new ranking method has emerged to meet the needs of users who seek to know the position of an institution in a special field. Some of these systems evaluate broad scientific fields such as humanities and social sciences, technical and engineering, and medicine, and others measure special fields such as chemistry, math, artificial intelligence, anthropology, and nursing in institutions. A total of 94,406 foreign students from 91 countries are studying in Iranian universities, according to statistics released in the Iranian year 1,400, that is March 2021 to March 2022. one of the policies of the Ministry of Science, Research and Technology is to try to promote diversity in the admission of international students. Ilna quoted Deputy Science Minister Hashem Darashpour as saying, in other words, admitting from all countries and sending only to top universities, he added. He said, we are determined and try to admit students from all nationalities, although in line with the goals and strategic policies of higher education, we have priority over the countries of origin for admitting students. He said, now we have students from 91 nationalities in the country's universities. Some of them are from European and American countries.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1930 to 2030 UTC on the following frequencies. 49 meters, 6040 kilohertz for Europe, and 25 meters, 11880 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
This is a part of a speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with a number of poets and experts in Persian literature in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on Wednesday, April 5, 2023. The meeting took place on the eve of the auspicious birth anniversary of Imam Hassan alayhi salam. The revolution would definitely not have been victorious had it not been for the presence of women. I say this with certainty. I was there at the heart of the revolutionary issues. If women had not participated in the massive demonstrations, the revolution would not have been victorious. If the women had stopped their husbands, children, or sons from participating in this cause, everything would have turned out differently. It was the same during the Sacred Defense War. When one reads the biographies of these mothers and wives, it is truly very moving. They were the ones who revived bravery in making sacrifices in the hearts of these young people and these men. The Westerners hold a grudge against Iranian women. They pretend to be supporters of women's rights, human rights and freedom. All of these things are examples of the enemy's onslaught.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Now, about human rights, it is truly surprising. The West is definitely not in a position to talk about human rights, just as one of the gentlemen said in his poem, I'm not worthy. The West is truly not worthy of being the ones to talk about human rights. Women in Western countries are faced with the most important problems right now, more so than other countries. They are definitely not supporters of human rights. They are not worthy of talking about the term human rights at all. They are the enemies of humankind. We saw the human rights in the Daesh, ISIS, when they burned people alive or sank them in water and drowned them before everyone's eyes. We saw the human rights in their support of MEK terrorists, in their support of Saddam Hussein. We are seeing it in Gaza and in Palestine. This is how the human rights are. We are seeing it in their acts of terror and in the way they kill young people. Here, in the streets of Tehran, our most virtuous youth, like the ones whose names were mentioned, such as Arman Aliverdi and Ruhollah Ajamian, they were truly some of our purest, most untainted, most virtuous youth, were tortured to death. But the Western world did not object at all.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.